This past week, a deal was made at a Wall Street law firm which allowed violinist Robert McDuffie to play the instrument of his dreams. McDuffie is an internationally known recording and performing artist. He convinced a group of partners to buy a $3.5 million rare violin and then lease it to him. Robert McDuffie joins us with the violin. Hi, Robert.
How are you doing?
I'm well. I know you're not going to play a full song for us, but could we possibly hear what $3.5 million sounds like?
You can hear how it sounds when I pluck the strings.
Oh, it's a sweet, warm tone.
It even carries when you don't use a bow.
Yeah. Describe the kind of violin. Describe the violin for us.
This is a Guarneri del Gesù. He lived in Cremona in the 18th century. And there are only 100 of his violins left in the world today. This particular violin was played by the greatest violinist of all time, Niccolo Paganini. And what separates the Guarneris from all the other violins, including Strads, in my opinion, is that the Guarneris have a much more full, rich, dark, deep, and powerful sound. And another reason I prefer this particular fiddle is that up top, the sweetness reminds me of a Stradivarius, so it has the best of both worlds.
But
I have the best of both worlds.
It is this violin and no other that speaks to you?
I just feel I can do anything I want musically on this violin. When I have played other violins, I've always felt I've been running with a pulled hamstring. But this, I can kind of let myself go.
Describe the moment you fell in love with it.
The minute I pulled the bow over the strings, when it was brought to me. I had been told by several people, teachers, mentors, that I was a Del Gesù player because I like to dig in to the string, and I needed a violin that wouldn't crack when I got kind of in the heat of battle, when I'd get a little excited on stage. And a Del Gesù is that perfect violin.
Mm.
And when I sent word out that I was looking for a Guarneris Del Gesù, of course, all the dealers around showed me what they had, and this is the one that I loved.
Now you had to pay for it.
Well, that's what I realized, that I had a problem.
How did you come up with this scheme to get a group of investors to buy shares in it?
Well, I certainly wasn't smart enough to think of it on my own. It was suggested to me by a Wall Street friend, actually, a non-musician. And he said, I don't think this has ever been done for a string instrument, but if you can get it done, it might open up a lot of people's eyes and hopefully set a precedent. And that's what we did. We found a lawyer. The owner of the violin became the very first partner, in fact, the general partner. The owner also happens to be the dealer. This Wall Street lawyer who, before he started this deal, had specialized in aircraft leasing, decided that he wanted to get in on this, and he did. We formed a corporation, naming it the 1735 Del Gesù Partners LP. For a limited partnership.
Now, some of your investors include NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue and Mike Mills, who's the bassist for REM?
Right. I grew up with Mike in Macon, Georgia. We sang in church choir together. And I've always been so proud of him and his success and his music making. He actually came to one of these evenings or soirees that we had in Atlanta that Tagliabue hosted. Mike was in town, thankfully. And he immediately came up and said he wanted to be part of this group, and obviously I was very touched.
Was it easy to convince people that this piece of wood was worth $3.5 million?
I think it was easy to convince some people. Others, in this country especially, very wise and savvy business people, it's just not in their mindset that this type of support for the arts exists or should exist. So before I started the partnership, I actually went to a couple of southern banks. I'm from Georgia, as I said, and I I thought that I could tap into the Southern pride deal, and I was pretty naive also. I thought it was going to be a real slam dunk, actually. And I remember going to one major bank suggesting that they buy the violin as an investment, have me play it all over the world and promote the bank all over the world. And when this banker in Atlanta said, well, we think it's really great you play in Hong Kong, but we just don't care too much about Hong Kong, so good luck. I knew that I had a problem.
What sort of return do your investors expect?
Well, that's one of the requirements of a limited partnership is on the front page tells you that you're basically insane if you invest in this deal, even though the great violins have never depreciated. I can tell you that this violin was worth $250,000 in 1975, and it sold for $1.2 in 1989, and it's been appraised by the head of the Christie's Fine Instrument Collection for $3.6. I did struggle with actually talking about this publicly, but it's a problem. It's a problem for many of us who want to make music with the right tool, and it's becoming incredibly difficult. And I know that there might be some who are a little hesitant about even publicizing the prices of these great instruments, but something has got to be done, and hopefully this will open up eyes to people knowing that this is a tasteful and altruistic investment at the same time. But as Paul Tagliabue said, he considers his contribution as a charitable contribution without a deduction.
To a certain extent, you're the investment, though, right?
I found out that it's much more personal. Most of the investors, all but one actually, invested because they believed in me and my career and my talent, I guess. Mm. Even though they're pretty sure that they're going to get a pretty hefty return at the end, that's not their motive.
Hmm. To a certain extent, you're almost the collateral. I mean, it's your job to play it and to a certain extent keep it valuable in a monetary sense, but instruments are meant to be played.
Exactly. If you take an instrument that's stored in a museum somewhere, it takes forever to break it back in. Hmm. So these violins, as they age and if they're well taken care of and if they're played, they become more valuable.
In addition to playing it, what else is involved in your end of this bargain?
There's a morals clause. I have to be a good citizen. I guess I can't spit on the street or anything. I'm responsible for maintenance, upkeep, insurance, and just playing it, taking care of it.
Robert McDuffie joined us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in Minneapolis. His latest recording is the Concerto for Violin and Orchestra by Miklos Roja on Telarc. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Leanne, thank you so much.
Robert McDuffie playing Miklos Roza's Concerto for Violin and Orchestra with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra.